Our scripture this morning comes from two books. First, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and John 13, 13 through 35. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. John 13. When he was gone, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Sally, thank you. One of the commands that Sally just read that Jesus gave to his disciples was to love one another. And he gives us the same command. 13:35 said, By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Or a verse that we read in our Experiencing God class said, you are my friends. This is a tough one. If you keep on doing what I command you. Can we be God's friend, not love the unlovable, not love those that we think are like us or look like us or are us? Can we love the unlovable? The disciples, as Sally read, said and knew that they couldn't go with Jesus in his ascension, but he wanted to give them something. And he gave them his Holy Spirit. And when God gives us the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, when we receive his message of salvation and we are forgiven, then he gives us that love. And so what he gave the disciples, he gave us. The same amount of love. And I thought it was interesting in what Sally read, because he said this commandment, and if we think about that, a commandment is something that you have to do. But he also says love is a gift. Love is something that's given to us. It's like joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all the gifts of the Spirit. Love is one of them. So Jesus loved his disciples. He loved even the unlovable one, Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. But he loved them to the extent that he was willing to go out and lay down his life for even Judas, who betrayed him. And sometimes we think we'll give our lives to, and we're willing to give our lives maybe for a spouse or for our children. But do we want to give our life to someone like a Judas, who we know is going to betray us? But yet that's the example that Jesus gave. And so a lot of thoughts jump out when we see this and we realize that he commands us to love the unlovable, and the question becomes, do I really have to do that? Do I have to love the person that's on the front picture of your bulletin? Do I have to love the unlovable person on the slide up here? do I have to love the person that might have caused the death of a loved one? What a question. And we all have to face it. The Amplified says, love and unselfish concern for others. What John is saying here is not so much that love becomes a matter of emotion, or love becomes an obligation, or love becomes some type of feeling. What he's saying here is that beyond all of that, I have to wish the best for the unlovable. I have to wish the best for those who are my enemies. I have to have unselfish concern for someone that I just really can't tolerate. Somebody I just really don't like. And he's saying you don't have a choice. That we have to love the unlovable. And the great thing about receiving Jesus Christ is the fact that he gives us that new heart. Because with a heart of hate and a heart that, you know, of Satan, when we are doing wrong and living outside of the will of Jesus Christ, it's easy to hate people. It's easy to dislike people. But God gives us that heart and gives us a new heart. And it becomes a spiritual heart, one to serve him. And he dwells in us. And he is over all of us. And he watches over us and he gives us direction. And he tells us and shows us what to do. Paul told the Colossians, love is measured from within, from with the individual. It's not the size of the church building. It's not love's not measured by church attendance. Although if a person loves Jesus Christ, they're going to be in a house of worship somewhere. But it's not measured by pure attendance. It's measured by love. It's measured by how much concern we have for each other. It's a way of loving. It's a way of giving. It's a way of sharing. And he doesn't put any limits on it. He doesn't talk about it being based on ethnicity. He doesn't say it's based on economic status. He doesn't say it's based on wealth or lack of wealth. But he's saying it's based on love. And I was driving in this morning and listening to this, I don't remember who it was, but he's talking about two missionaries that were in Botswana, and they were trying to raise $5 million to build a facility for children. And they had raised, you know, some small amounts of money, and there was a German businessman that apparently was Googling or looking for things on the internet because he felt called to make a donation. So he sent them $200,000, and they were excited about that, and he followed that up with another $300,000 offering, and they were really getting excited, except they were way short of their $5 million goal. And so he visits this facility there, stays in this, apparently it's a upscale hotel about 15 miles from where this mission field was, where this 40-year-old couple was. And they went to pick up the German businessman that had come into town and dropped him off at the hotel. And he was talking about this hotel, which had come up for sale. And he ended up buying the hotel, the German businessman did. And he went out to visit this mission that they had, a missionary where they wanted to build this facility. And he had never met these people before. I don't think, from listening to the story, he'd ever been to Botswana, but he wrote a check for $5 million to build a facility. Because he saw the love that this couple had for the need in Botswana. So it has nothing to do with who we are.
But it has everything to do with who we really are and what He wants from our heart. If a church had more people, it could do more things. If a church had more money, it could do more things. But you can't measure that until you can measure how I'm growing and how that love is being shown forth to other people. So the question becomes, am I growing in order that I can love more, that I can do more? Am I being obedient? One of the things that we saw in the Experiencing God class, and we're going to do that again this fall, and I would encourage you to talk to Brenda or Jim or Sally, Lynette, and Jan about it. I'll guarantee it'll make you dig deep. And then it'll make you dig some more. But it's an amazing, amazing course. But one of the things that they said in there is obedience is followed by action. And I thought this week, maybe a better way to say it is obedience leads to motivation to move forward, to go do something different. Paul taught about loving. Jesus taught about loving. God taught about loving when He gave Eve to Adam in the beginning. And they built their relationship on love. So we have Paul teaching about it. We have Jesus teaching about it. And so we ask ourselves, am I living a life worthy of love? And one of the things that in reading this week was that I saw this. God never condemns us when we do wrong. He never beats us up. He never disowns us if we make a mistake. He never puts a big L on our forehead and has us walk around like a loser. He never does that. He just puts His arm around us and loves us some more. Loves us back into relationship. And we see so much hatred going on in the world today, and you can't hardly turn on the news if you turn it on to see where there's not someone killing someone, someone stealing, someone robbing from someone. So much hatred, so much war, so much criticism, people trying to destroy each other with words. Criticism of the president, criticism of the Congress, criticism of your neighbor, not necessarily your neighbor, but criticism of other people, criticism of another race. I could go a long way on that one. Criticism of those who have fame and we don't, those who have money and maybe we don't. All those things are contrary to love. But love must be our source. And it must be the guiding principle in our lives. Love, what calls us to conversion. And when I requested this song this week, the Power of Love, I thought about this verse. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it said, "For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and in understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." And that worthy of the Lord is displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. To fully please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing in the knowledge of God, with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for His precepts. The purpose of His creation was to fill us with His presence. His presence is love. And He's pleased when we follow His commandment. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And I think we could say, you are my friends if you accept the gift that I've offered you, which is love. I thought about this week. It said when we fulfill his call, we think about this. Arguing never solved anything with anyone. All it does is make matters worse and make us find reasons to dislike people. Criticism never helps us love anyone. When we're criticized, the first thing we want to do is retaliate, go after them. You know, and I don't want to lie to you and tell you that it's wrong to say something. It's right to say something if what you're saying is wrong about what someone is doing. But it goes back to that old adage that if we can't find something good to say about someone, find something almost good to say about them. You know, you always heard it, if you can't say something good, don't say anything. I believe there's something good you can find in everyone. Sometimes we have to look for it. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we have to try harder. There are a lot of difficult nuts to crack out there. But God didn't necessarily make us the hammer. But love is a tremendous hammer. And so when we look to him for guidance and we wonder where to go, 1 Corinthians 13 is an absolute excellent resource to go to. And we have that fruit and we have that in us that he wants us to do it. But how do we show love? It seems so simple and you're saying that we ought to do it. Share a smile with someone. I'm sure that that person in that picture would be glad to see someone smile at him. Sometimes we just want to look the other way. I'm going to share a story about that. Buy some toothpaste. Hey, buy a toothbrush. That's love, because we are giving of ourselves for someone else. Donate clothing. You got stuff you don't wear that doesn't have holes in it, it still has some life left in it? Donate it. Go out on a limb. Go buy something new. People love new stuff that don't have new stuff. It's not expensive to love. It's not expensive to give. Donate food. We had a note in this week at Ross about food that we need for our food pantry. Nancy mentioned last week that the Ross and Morgan Ministries needed jelly. Bring in some jelly. Bring in some peanut butter. Bring in that stuff. I mean, it's not a big deal. $5, I'll throw this out, you know, and Chip may not appreciate it, but, you know, one less trip to Starbucks. A week, but I'm not picking on Chip, but you know, but that's just an example of, and I, you know, where you can find the extra, you know, the extra money. There is a story in Luke chapter 10, and it starts in verse 23, and you're familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan and what he did. And there was an individual that was robbed, beaten, and left by the side of the road to die. Three people walk by. The first is a priest. Not a Catholic priest. A priest in New Testament times. And he looked at him and he just walked down the other side of the road. The second was a Levite. Now a Levite was from a priestly tribe. But he did the same thing. And I'm thinking it's interesting that Jesus told this parable, and the first two groups of people he used were religious people. Why is that? Why was that? And I think he was telling that story that there's more to a Christian life than attending church
singing some songs, hearing some scripture, and hearing a message. We can't just do it an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and 30 minutes one day a week. I think that's what he's saying to us, because the third man was a Samaritan. Now, he could have used a Jew, and if he would, that would have opened up a whole different can of worms, as they say. But he used a Samaritan. And he said, but a Samaritan, a foreigner who was traveling, came upon him. And when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion and went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Somebody said in her thinking, that's a waste of wine. I can hear that. To soothe and disinfect the injuries. And he put him on his own pack animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day, it says, he took out two denarii, which was like 2 days' wages then. Gave them to the innkeeper. He said, take care of him. And if there's more, put it on my bill and I'll pay you the next time I come through. Doesn't say anything about the Christian status of the Samaritan. It only says he was a foreigner, which I think says a lot about what an attitude is toward a foreigner. But it's not skin color. It's not wealth. It's not prestige. It's not nationality. It's not social status. It's love. And he set the example in John 3:16. He said, for God so loved Judas. Who can put our own name in there? That he sent his only son to die on the cross, to rise again, to ascend into heaven, to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we might love one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We give you thanks for His presence in our lives. And Father, sometimes it seems difficult and challenging to love the unlovable. But your commandment is also your gift. And so we receive the gift of love that we might love the unlovable, which is doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.